الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm in your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. And I just want to remind you, the only required book for this class is a copy of Quran. And you can order them for free at whyislam.org. You go to the store and buy one, order one to get sent to your house through whatever place you buy various books from. And so that will be totally up to you. But the Quran comes in Arabic and is translated, roughly translated, in multiple languages, Spanish, French, Urdu, you name it, is translated into that particular language. But the original, the Quran itself, is in Arabic. So let me move on. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And I also want to advise you or suggest that maybe you tell some of your friends to come and listen in to the various episodes. You all can do it together, or tell them to listen in if they want to learn more and more about the faith of Islam. Because a lot of times in other information avenues, they may not fully present Islam in a very positive way, because they want you to think a certain way about Islam, and so they're going to get all their proofs, or what they call their proofs, to show that Islam is not this, but it's that. And it may not be that they're presenting. It just means that this is the only way we get you to think a certain way. We're only going to show you this to you and make you think this way. And these are the things going to make you think this way about this faith of these people who practice this particular faith. And you probably say, well, how about you? You're basically doing the same thing. I'm just presenting Islam to you. That's all. I'm not asking you to embrace Islam. I don't ask you to agree or disagree. I'm not asking that at all. All I'm doing in our classes since 2018 is just present to you what Islam is and what Islam is not. And it's your choice what you want to do with it. I'm just presenting the knowledge to you. And I want to acknowledge those students who've been with me for almost 5 years now. And from 2018 to now is 2023. And you've been with me from the day one. And I appreciate you coming to class on time and bringing your textbook with you and ready to learn about what Islam is and what Islam is not. So I really appreciate it. And I also want to welcome those students who are new. It might be your first day, second day, third day, or week, or whatever it is. I also want to encourage you to keep on coming and learning about Islam yourself, and not being told secondhand by anyone. I'm just giving you firsthand. I've been a Muslim since 1976. I'm just giving you what I understand Islam to be. And that's all that I'm doing. I'm not asking anyone that listening to me to become Muslim, but I am asking you to listen to what I have to say and how I explain things to you, and then you make the decision for yourself. If your heart is turned by what I'm saying, then you embrace Islam. If not, your heart is not turned, or turned off by what I'm saying, okay, then you just don't embrace Islam. That's totally your choice to make. But as Allah is my witness, Almighty God is my witness, I am presenting to you, and Allah witness you listening to me and getting the truth about this, about the faith of Islam. And keep in mind too, my beautiful students, is that sometimes people use Islam, particularly for political reason, political use, or they want you again think a certain way. But particularly when you have people want to run for various offices, and so they're going to say various negative things, get people on their side, and they get votes. I'm just putting it out to you straight. Or they don't want you to embrace Islam, because Islam is the second largest religion in the world. You have, for example, 7 billion people in the world. And so, for every 7 people, two of those people are Muslim. In other words, 2 billion people are Muslim throughout the world. All over the world. Not just one type of people, or people from a particular group, or that kind of thing, or one section of the world. No, it's all over the world. And some of you may have Muslims in your family. You don't know it. You may not want to acknowledge it, but you may have Muslims in your family. And we come in all shapes and sizes and colors and ages. You name it, we come in that brand, if you will, in that form, if you will. So you just can't get away from us. We are who we are, and we're not going to change who we are because we are Muslim, and we're obeying what Allah tells us to do, and obeying what the Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings upon him, tells us to do, and that's it. And neither one of them going to tell us anything wrong. Neither one of us going to want us to harm individuals. Not at all. To harm members of our family, to harm our wives, our wife, our children, our husband, anything like that, mother, whomever, we're not taught to do that. And people who are not Muslims, we are not taught, as Muslims, correctly practicing Muslim, to harm anyone. Because to save a life of one individual is to save the life of all humanity. And to take a life of one individual is like taking a life of all of humanity. That's where we're coming from, and that's what we should be doing as Muslims. Every Muslim has this mandate that they have to do, that they have to follow, these rules and regulations that they are supposed to follow. If they don't follow it, that's between them and Allah. But you decide to embrace Islam, and then what you do, you follow it. And maybe they may end up following you. I say, you know what? This person just embraced Islam. You know what? They're right. What they're doing is correct. And I need to do more of what they're doing, or more of what the Quran is telling me to do, what Islam is telling me not to do. But that's really not the topic for today. Today's topic is treatment of animals. We have a lot of situations where people mistreat animals. And that's what they do. They beat the animal. They drag the animal. They do all kinds of things to harm the animals. Because we human beings, we can dominate over the animals, or we think differently from animals, or sometimes even more advanced than many animals. And so the thing is, we could treat them in whatever way we want to treat them, and that's not true Islamically. There's a certain way that we're supposed to treat animals. If an animal, it doesn't matter if it's a pig, it's a dog, it's a cat, whatever it is, we're supposed to treat them in a certain way. Now, I'm not talking about animals that we eat, that kind of thing, okay? Even with that, we have, and I'll get into that later on. Even with them, there's just certain animals we use as sacrifice. I know there's a group of people out there that are just eat vegetables, that kind of thing, which is okay. That's your choice. And then people might eat vegetables and only fish only or seafood. It's okay. There's people eat, along with all that, they eat meat. With all that, they eat meat. They eat vegetables, they eat fish, they eat meat. That's their choice, and it's okay for them to do. It's allowed for them to do. But the thing is, what I'm talking about is basically the treatment of animals. And so what? So you might say, Imam Amin, what are you talking about the treatment of animals? It was narrated by Salim that Ibn Umar, meaning the son of Umar, disliked the branding of the Prophet, peace be upon him, disliked the branding of the branding animals on the face. He said that Prophet, may peace be upon him, he forbid beating animals on the face. This is something, this is a no-no that we, this is something that we don't do. We're supposed to be beating animals anyway, but we don't go and hit them in their faces and bruise them in their faces or tattoo them on their faces, brand them on their faces. This is not something that we do. We say, oh, it's just an animal. I could do whatever I want to. No, it doesn't work like that. That's not Islamically. That's not the proper way to do, and the proper may peace be upon him. He forbid us branding an animal on their face. People brand animals to identify them because a lot of animals look the same. And so they brand them, and so they put some kind of brand or tattoo on them so we identify this is my cow, this is my horse, this is my camel. So this is what some people would do. I would assume some people do the least harm to the animal to brand them, to identify them, because why would I pay for a camel or a goat or something like that, and then someone comes and just take it, and just take my animal that I pay for, that belongs to me, and just go ahead and take my property, like basically like taking my car or taking my house, just come and take my wealth or what belongs to me. And so here again, that we as Muslims, it was forbidden for us beating animals on the face. So if you see a Muslim doing something like that, then remind them. That's for the Muslims and non-Muslims. Listen to me. And you remind them that the Prophet Muhammad, he forbid it. He forbade the hitting of animals or the beating of animals on their face. Let's go to the next one where they mention that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had mentioned about the kind of animals that one would sacrifice. And he said, there's some animals that we cannot sacrifice. We can't do anything with them. And he said, a crippled animal who is limp, whose limp is obvious and is not to be slaughtered as sacrifice. Nor an animal with a bad eye whose blindness is obvious. Nor a sick animal whose sickness is obvious, or an emaciated animal that has no bones in it. So we have to keep these things emaciated. Okay, animal you see them sometimes, they just look really sick. They look like they're almost ready to die. So that kind of animal, not the animal that we would sacrifice, that we would slaughter, or animal is blind, or animal has one eye, and all these things are obvious, or animal crippled, or animal is limping. Also, there's certain ages too, animal is too young. So we don't. Those are the animals that we don't, or we're not allowed to sacrifice and treat them in a certain way. Let them live. Leave them alone. Let them die a natural causes. If they limp, they have a bad eye, or they're sick, or anything of that, or don't have bones, or has no bones in it, that kind of thing. Then, at that point, just basically don't touch them and just let them basically die, and let them live their life and just let them die. That's a natural death. And so I just want to remind my students that this is how we do with animals. This is how we are to treat animals and to deal with animals. And again, I should have mentioned at the beginning, we as Muslims, and what I'm talking about right now is only, again, the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of the information and the knowledge about Islam pertaining to the treatment of animals. There's a lot more to it than this, a lot more identification and that sort of thing, which I can't get into that thing right now. But the thing is, we are to not sacrifice the animals that I mentioned here. Even one of the prophets, he said to the people, he said, look, he said them sacrifice, and they said, well, is it old, brown, young, that kind of thing. So they had all these things that they wanted to know before they actually sacrificed the animal. And don't hamstring the animal, sort of cut the animal like around on their leg someplace. And we're not supposed to do that, at least with the particular prophet. And you can read it for yourself. I'm going to leave that for homework for you. And you can look through the Quran on your own and find the different verses in Quran that talks about the treatment of animals. And so you can do that on your own. Matter of fact, I give it a project for you, and maybe your circle of friends, you all get your Qurans out, and then you all go through Quran and come up with, that you have five people, maybe five, each person will come up with a different animal mentioned in the Quran and what Muslims are not supposed to do. I'm talking to the non-Muslim, and I'm talking to the Muslims. This is what to help you to gain more information about the topic, which is the treatment of animals. And so let me go on to the next portion regarding this, is that, and this one is very touching, and that is, the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, cats do not invalidate the prayer, because they are the things that are useful in the house. So bottom line is, we can have cats in our home. And encourage not so much a dog. A dog, if you have in your home, have it for hunting or as protection, that sort of thing. And you keep them outside someplace. And the angels, they don't come inside the house where you have pictures of people. And also dogs, they do not enter those particular homes. But cats are okay to do. Sometimes you will go to a mosque and you will see a cat roaming around the mosque, and people feeding it and that kind of thing, or giving it water, and you will see them roaming around the mosque. And it does not invalidate the prayer, does not disrupt the prayer or the praying person. There, I saw one time online where a brother, he was leading the prayer before a lot of people. And then there was a cat inside of the place of worship, the mosque or the musalla, as the place of worship or the area. And the cat actually got up on the man who was leading the prayer. And if you go online, you can find out for yourself, YouTube or whatever, and I guess you put in there imam, cat, and then it should pop up, and you can see the cat climbing up the man on his shoulder, that kind of thing, and the man not brushing him off, throwing him out. He let the cat climb over him, and he kept on leading the prayer and leading the people and leaving in prayer. So whatever reason the cat jumped up there, I'm not going to get into that. But the thing is, it showed the gentleness and the kindness that this man showed towards the cat, even while he was in prayer. He could have very well brushed it off or grabbed it by his skin or something and then threw it off. He did not do that. He is gentle towards the cat, and then allowed the cat to have the freedom to climb all over him. And they were in the musalla, the area of worship, where they pray. And so it's okay to have a cat around the area where we pray, and it does not invalidate the prayer at no level. But then let me go to the opposite side of that, and that is the bad treatment of cats. And so that is the messenger or the prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, a woman entered the hell fire because of a cat which she tied, never giving it food, nor setting it free to eat from the varmint of the earth. And so, I would like to read another hadith pertaining to that, where it was narrated by Asma bint Abi Bakr, which was the sister-in-law Papa Han Peace Festival partner. He is married to her sister, Aisha. And she narrated that the prophet, may peace be upon him, prayed the eclipse prayer. I know it was the sun eclipsing the moon or the moon eclipsing the sun. But it does, that's not germane to what I'm talking about. It then said, hell was displayed so close that I said, oh my Lord, am I going to be one of its inhabitants? Suddenly he saw a woman, I think he said, who was being scratched by a cat. He said, what is wrong with her? He was told she had imprisoned it, i.e. the cat, till it died of hunger. So we see from this, out of the basically the two hadith, saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that I read, is that he mentioned about the woman who tied the cat up, never feeding the cat, never freeing the cat, so it can eat from things, other things on earth. And then the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he saw a woman in the hellfire, basically being tortured by a cat, because she was from the people that imprisoned the cat till it died of hunger. And so I just want to say to my beautiful students is that please be easy and be kind towards the cats, because you don't know, they may be something that's going to be positive for you on the day of judgment, or be something that's going to be negative towards you or against you on the day of judgment. And so all you may torture it now, and it may torture you later. And so animals are very important, and it's supposed to treat them with some form of respect, and guarding over them, watching over them, and making sure that no one harms them. As I mentioned regarding the cat, and what happened to the woman who did not feed the cat, kept the cat tied up, did not let the cat be free and eat from the earth. And then the cat end up with the lady in the hellfire, and the lady being tortured by the cat, scratching her because of the way she treated that particular animal. And so please keep that in mind about any animal that we're dealing with. Say, for example, before you start listening to this episode, you threw rocks at animals. You did all kind of stuff to animals, and so you may end up thinking you got away with something, but no, you didn't get away with anything. Unless you repent and ask Allah to forgive you, then you may have to pay in a very bad way for what you've done to that particular animal. I remember when I was very, very a younger teenager, and I was going into this building, and then I heard this loud meow, like, ow, you all know what I'm talking about. I won't imitate what I heard, but it was a loud meow. And so what happened is, and then these young guys, they ran past me. I'm walking up the step, not knowing what's going on. And then when I got to a certain area of the step, because what happened is, a person, they had a cat, but outside the house tied to a rail. And my guesstimate is that what I think happened is that these young men, they took and threw the cat off the rail, and the cat ended up being hung. And so, or maybe they were playing with the cat, and the cat slipped out their hand and fell down. But whatever it is, they did not pull the cat back up. And then the cat was just basically hanging there. And this is what they did to that cat. And so the thing is, and so it depends. Maybe they were in puberty. So maybe Allah forgive them, but it wasn't written for them. Maybe they were beyond puberty. And maybe it was written for them, for this cat, one day to get his revenge on these people that threw it and killed the cat. And so they're not getting away with anything. And so anything that any of us do to an animal, we may end up having that animal do something maybe even worse to us. Who wants every day, all day, to be tormented by a cat, for example? I'll be scratched by a cat day in and day out. That's part of the torture that a person receiving in the hellfire. Who wants that? Who wants that kind of thing? I know that I do not want that. And I'm going to try my best not to do anything that I'm going to be in that particular predicament. It's also narrated by Abu Huraira. And he said, there was one prophet's companion, that Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, said, and it's like two stories about the same incident, and I'm going to give you both of them. A prostitute was forgiven by Allah because passing by a panting dog near a well and seeing that the dog was about to die of thirst, she took off her shoe and tying it with her head cover, she drew out from the water for it. So Allah forgave her because of that. There's a person that people pay for sex with her, has all these kind of sins, but she just did this one act, and that she was able to take a shoe, tie it to her headscarf, dump it down into the water, pour the water up in the shoe, and then give the water to this particular dog. And for that, Allah did what? So Allah forgave her because of that. Just for doing just that little thing to this animal, this particular dog that was panting and trying to get something to drink. Also, in a similar situation, also related by Abu Huraira, he reported that a messenger of Allah as saying, a person suffered from intense thirst while on a journey. And when he found a well, he climbed down into it and drunk water, and then came out and saw a dog basically with his tongue on his tongue hanging out, and he was eating the moisture from the earth, from the dirt. The person said, this dog has suffered from the thirst that I have suffered from it. He climbed down into the well, filled his shoe with water, and then caught it in his mouth until he climbed up and made the dog drink it. So Allah appreciated this act of his and pardoned him. Then the companions around the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, Allah's messenger, is there for us a reward even for serving such animals? He said, yes, there is a reward for service of every living animal. And so, my beautiful students, please, again, yes, there is a reward for service for every living animal. So let's not deny ourselves the reward of serving the animals, taking care of the animals, not mistreating the animals. These things could be a benefit to us in this world and the next world. And that they could be, and if Allah wants them to, they may even speak on our behalf. If Allah wants them to, it's written down by the angels, one on our right side writing down our good deeds, one on the left side writing down our bad deeds, and on our right side writing down that we gave this animal something to eat. That we treated all animals that we came in touch with, we treated them with some level of respect. And so we get our reward for doing so. So if you are one that mistreats animals, from this day forward, stop doing it. It's a simple thing. And Islam mandates that Muslims do not abuse animals. Again, if you want more information about Islam, you can go to whyislam.org. Learn about Islam, you go to the International Online University, American Open University, also go to embracerevert.org. And you want more information about what's going on with the Muslims right now, you can go to MuslimNetwork.tv and find out more information about what Muslims are doing now. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class, and I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.